वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण वेलकम टू ऑल द वैष्णवास फॉर टुडेज संडे श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास चैप्टर 11 कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 21 श्लोक नंबर 19 विषयेषु गुणाध्यासात् पुंस संगस्ततो भवेत् संगतत्र भवेत् कामादेव कलिनृणाम् विषयेषु गुणाध्यासात् पुंस संगस्ततो भवेत् संगतत्र भवेत् कामादेव कलिनृणाम् विषयेषु गुणाध्यासात् पुंस संगस्ततो भवेत् संगास्तत्र भवेत् कामादेव कलिनृणाम् विषयेषु गुणाध्यासात् संगात् संगस्ततो भवेत् संगास्तत्र भवेत् कामादेव कलिनृणाम् विषयेषु गुणाध्यासात् पुंस संगस्ततो भवेत् संगस्तत्र भवेत् कामादेव कलिनृणाम् विषयेषु गुणाध्यासात् पुंस संगस्ततो भवेत् संगस्तत्र भवेत् कामादेव कलिनृणाम् माताजी विषयेषु गुणाध्यासात् पुंस संगस्ततो भवेत् संगस्तत्र भवेत् कामादेव कलिनृणाम् विषयेषु इन मटेरियल ऑब्जेक्ट्स ऑफ सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन गुण अध्यासात् बिकॉज ऑफ प्रिज्यूमिंग देम टू बी गुड पुंसा ऑफ अ पर्सन संगह अटैचमेंट ततः फ्रॉम द प्रिजम्पशन भवेत् कम्स इन टू बीइंग संगात फ्रॉम दैट मटेरियल एसोसिएशन तत्र धस भवेत् अराइजेस कामः लस्ट कामात फ्रॉम लस्ट एव आल्सो कलिः क्वरल नृणाम अमोंग मेन ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय Disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada One who accepts material sense objects as desirable certainly becomes attached to them. From such attachment, lust arises, and this lust creates quarrel among men. Purport: the actual goal of human life should not be material sense gratification, for it is the basis of conflict in human society. Although the Vedic literature sometimes sanctions sense gratification, the ultimate purpose of the Vedas is renunciation. Since Vedic culture cannot possibly recommend anything that disturbs human life, a lusty person is easily angered and becomes inimical to anyone frustrating his lusty desires. Since his sex desire can never be satisfied, a lusty person ultimately becomes frustrated with his own sex partner, and thus a love-hate relationship develops. A lusty person considers himself to be the enjoyer of God's creation and is therefore full of pride and false prestige. The lusty, proud person will not be attracted to the process of humble submission at the lotus feet of the bona fide spiritual master. Attraction to illicit sex is thus the direct enemy of Krishna consciousness, which depends upon humble submission to the representative of the Supreme Lord. Lord Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita that desire for illicit sex is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Because modern society sanctions unrestricted mixing of men and women, its citizens cannot possibly achieve peace. Rather, the regulation of conflict becomes the basis of social survival. This is the symptom of an ignorant society falsely accepting the material body as the highest good. As described here, the words Vishayeshu Gunadhyasat, one who is too affectionate to his own body will inevitably be seized by sex desire. Om Akyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Malitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwati Vishubhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripi Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Pritakumru Sahivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So in this shloka, there is one particular word which is emphasized, even in the purport also, that Vishayeshu Gunadhyasat. The meaning of guna adhyasat is given as because of presuming them to be good. We will share some of the purports of Srila Prabhupada on this particular subject, that is presumption or illusion. American dictionary defines presumption as to assume or accept something as existing or being true but without proof or inconclusive ground. And in the same way, the illusion definition is given in the dictionary It's an erroneous perception of reality. That means that something which you presume which is real, but that is not real. And that is what is this material world is. Let us take an example of a phenomena called as mirage. We all know what is mirage. What are the prerequisite requirements of mirage? Scientific studies have shown that in mirage, it generally happens in a surface of Earth which is extremely hot, for example, in a desert. And because of very hot sun, the sand becomes very hot, and immediately the upper immediate layer above the sand, the air which is there, it is extremely hot. And as the air layer goes up, it becomes lesser hot than what it is near the sand. So person who is in desert, when he tries to see at a distance, the rays which are coming from the sun, they go from a colder air to hot air. And because of this change in the temperature, the rays get reflected down. And hence, because of the reflection of this air and these rays, because of the difference in the temperature, what image we see at a distance is an inverse reflection of actual reality. That is why in a mirage, a person in a desert sees the reflection of a sky which is blue on the earth as if it's a water. And if a camel is walking in the same level at distance, even you can see with the same principle of mirage the reflection of camel in another way, as if the water is reflecting the camel's impression. So this is an illusion. What are the ingredients of this mirage? Extreme heat, thirst, sun rays. It's at horizon, at distant level. Lot of efforts are required to reach this mirage. And it generates lot of hope and the false sense of comfort. Srimad Bhagavatam's first shloka begins with this particular word. In the first shloka, this word comes, is muhyanti. Srila Prabhupada translates that this material world is a mirage. That means it is an illusion. And in that same shloka, it is written that how it is an illusion, that even the great sages and the demigods are placed in an illusion, as one is bewildered by illusory representation of water seen on fire and land seen on water. While going through some of the this phenomena, I was wondering how the water is seen on fire and how the land is seen on the water. Similar explanation is given. When there is a temperature difference is reversed, then many times a land is seen on the water. And in the forest, when there is a huge fire is there, water which is contained inside the tree that gets vaporized. And above the fire level, sometimes you can see that water is existing. So this material world, sometimes it is compared as a dream, that we are awake and a dream. But sometimes, even in a dream, you see that you are in a dream. Similarly, in this world, which itself is a dream-like situation, but there are professionals' propaganda, which create a dream-like situation in the dream itself. Like, in movies, we see nowadays a new technology called as VFX, where you see the unbelievable things being done by the characters in that movie. Actually, those things are not possible. But because of the illusory eyes, what we see, ears, what we hear, all those things, there's such a wonderful illusion is created that person who sees that particular movie or that particular film, he feels that what is existing is a reality. The beginning of this illusion is right from the conception of a child in a mother's womb. When the child is in mother's womb, he gets a small hint, a small reel of what's going to come in the next after the birth. And he begs to Supreme Lord that, "Oh Lord, please, I don't want to go in this material world of illusion. I beg you, I promise you that I will never forget." And then, as soon as the birth takes place, the whole phantasmagoria of this illusion begins. Many times when I am entering operation theater, and I see just next to a door, a newly born baby is kept in that small newborn cubicle. He's just born, red. We know why baby is red. In Bhagavatam it is mentioned. And I see that baby, and just before going in the theater, I just say, "Hare Krishna, welcome to the material world." And then you see the reaction of the parents. They come and they are so happy. Father sees his child for the first time. Grandparents sees the child for the first time. The same reaction all of our parents must have expressed when they saw us for the first time. As the child grows gradually, you know, the whole illusion takes its roots. It begins with the admission. Where to take admission? How to take admission? It has to be the best school. Even if the parents have to stay overnight, sleeping outside the school, no problem. And then as the child grows, this identification with this material body gradually becomes firmer and firmer. Many times children come in our OPD and ask with their parents and ask them, "Beta, kya banna hai aapko?" Somebody says doctor, somebody says engineer, somebody says pilot, somebody just keep quiet. Few days back one child came, day before yesterday. I was stunned at that child's response. I says, "Beta, kya karna hai?" And he said, "Insan." I was just dumb. A rare response which a child gives. But that reality is there from the childhood. A child is taught to get a particular designation. There is a beautiful shloka in Srimad Bhagavatam which says that all the designations which are there in this human form, which has got no connection with the Lord, those designations have no meaning. A shloka is that asatvat atmana anyesham bhavanam. The other state of existence without connection with Lord, that is the identification of this material body with mind, occupation, state, language, country, etc., which has got no connection to Lord, that is the part of this illusory world. From the birth, we have some designation. I am born in this particular caste, this particular religion, this particular state, this particular language, this particular country, this particular form. Also, there are designations which connect them to connection to the intellectual level. Somebody is intellectual, somebody is secular, leftist, rightist, modernist, extremist, liberal. So these are the different illusionary our designations which keep us bound to this material world. I still remember in our orthopedics, when we are doing our study, and then the day somebody acquires the degree of MS, Master of Surgery, it's a big event. All the colleagues of that particular doctor will come together, hug him, laugh, and then MS bomb. You know, bomb means Bombay. You know, so you have become now a MS. And that particular day is a great joy. There is a big party, lot of things happen on that particular day. So this designation takes a deep root in the hearts of an individual, and which binds him to this material world. How it binds, I got a realization on my own self one day. We were going to for a book distribution. It was the initial days. I had just finished my post-graduation. Somewhere in the central area we were going, and there was no place for to put a book stall. And our Brahmachari Prabhus went to find somewhere the book stall can be kept. And I put a small table next to a vendor who was selling flowers and garlands and other things. And that vendor told me, don't put your stall over here. So I just kept a little away and tried to sell the books. He again came and told me, don't put your stall over here. It was very humiliating. I still continued. And after some time, he came and just pushed my table and threw the books down. And I got completely angry. I said, how can you do this? Do you know who am I? I am a doctor. And that person backfired me. So what? I am also a double graduate. That is the time when I was coming home. I realized that how this designation, this external designation, is so deeply rooted in ourself that even while serving the mission of Srila Prabhupada, little discomfort and this designation arises, it raises its mouth. Once a disciple asked his spiritual master, Guru Maharaj, is it true that whomsoever you love most, while giving name after initiation, you give them the name Krishna or Radha? His spiritual master became very grave and he said, one who is most dear to me, I give them the name as Das. Das. Our eternal designation is Das, Dasanu Das. When we correlate ourselves in our day-to-day activity with this designation as a Das, then it is our real designation which will help us to come out of this material existence. What is the function of this illusion? The function of this illusion of this material world is to separate one from reality. What is the reality? Reality is our inner eternal connection with the Supreme Lord, is our eternal reality. And entire machinery of this material world is organized in a such a way that its function, its purpose is served, that a living entity forgets and separates itself from a Supreme Lord, Sri Hari. There are two ways of being forgetful from the Supreme Lord, Sri Hari. One is trying to be the Lord and Master. Every living entity, you see right from the birth, as we said, best school, best college, best results, best spouse, best house, best weekend house, best car, best son-in-law, best daughter-in-law. And by the time, the hair starts growing, graying, hair starts going. That is the one way of the being forgetful of the Lord. And second way, somebody who has tried this so-called best of the best gets frustrated. And he decides that there is no point, it's not possible for me to become a master. So what I will do? I will become one with the master. I will emerge in the master. And that is the impersonalist philosophy. Many of us know the game of chess. In a chess, there are two opponents. They try to see to it that maximum piada or the pawns and other elements of the opposition army is destroyed. So in a chess, there is one particular stage, a player who is about to get defeated, what we call it as a checkmate. That means you are defeated. And he is completely cornered. And at that particular time, he proposes a draw to his opponent. And opponent sometimes accepts. Similar situation is in this material world. When a human being trying to become a lord and master, when he cannot become a master, he proposes a draw. Fine, I cannot become a master, I will merge with the master. And the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, so kind, that he allows that desire, which is unhealthy desire, to become one with the Lord, to merge in the Supreme Lord. Shastra says that great personalities like Brahmaji and Hanumanji, they are such great personalities. Hanumanji have done so much service to the Supreme Lord Shri Ram, to the extent that carrying Supreme Lord Shri Ram on his shoulder. Brahmaji does such a massive services of creating this entire universe. And still, they never think themselves to be more powerful than the Lord. Then how insignificant this living entity thinks himself to be the greater or to be equal to the Supreme Lord. When we were small, I still remember when I was a child, my parents will take me to the fair. You know? October month was a mela hota tha. Fair near our fellowship school here, there used to be a fair. Big ground there used to be there. And during, just before your Diwali vacation, there will be a huge fair. And my parents will purchase one very beautiful, what we call it as a kaleidoscope. It has got a triangle, three glasses which are covered, and inside there are a few colorful bangle glass pieces are there. And when you move your that kaleidoscope with your finger, with your hand, you tend to see a beautiful beautiful image in that kaleidoscope. And I still remember, I used to get completely mesmerized. And for a long time, I used to see this particular design. Oh, it's wonderful. And again, I'll try to take that design, which was very beautiful. And trying and trying and trying. But that design will never come again. And lot of time will be spent in that process. But ultimately, I still remember that feeling. You get tired. You get bored with that particular, even though it's so fantastic looking. Similarly, this material world is controlled. This illusion is controlled by three modes of material nature. Goodness, passion and ignorance. And the way kaleidoscope we move with our hand, Shastra says that these three modes are controlled by the Mayadevi herself. How do we come out of it? There is a beautiful story in the Lord Damodar Leela, that it is said that same Damodar, Lord Krishna, when he is hungry, he gets up early in the morning and he holds the churning rod which Mother Yashoda is churning. And there Acharyas write, that Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, who churns this entire being, entire material world with the three modes of material nature, today he is holding the churning rod of Mother Yashoda. So when we take shelter of Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, that is a time our churning, this material world by these three modes of nature, can be stopped. Shastras also say that when we are in this material world, we are bound. Like the cow is bound by the rope, every living entity is bound by the rules and the laws of the Shastras. And whenever a cow or whenever a living entity tries to run away or break free from these particular laws, they get punishment. Material world is explained at one purport. In one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains that the way somebody enters, when somebody enters the hospital, that living entity goes through the different departments of the hospital and comes out as a healthy man. At our Bhaktivedanta hospital, somebody comes and who is sick. He has to go through so many painful procedures. Get the blood test done, CT scan, X-ray, sonography, surgery, dressing, intravenous needles, Foley's catheter. So many painful procedures a patient has to go through. But we have never heard any patient shouting and calling, call the owner of this hospital right now. Why there is so much of pain in this hospital? I want to speak to the owner and I demand that I don't want any pain in this hospital. No. The whole purpose of this hospital is so that you become healthy, and in that process you have to go through so much of pain and suffering. Similarly, this material world is created in such a way that a living entity goes through so many different types of pain. It's a hospital. So that one day when he leaves this world, by the mercy of spiritual master, he can go back home, back to Godhead. However, out of illusion, a living entity is always, always constantly engrossed in the thoughts of body, mind, senses, and it's connected. And it is said in a beautiful shloka that a time, what is the characteristic of the time? It is insurmountable. You can never defeat a time. It is eternal and it is imperceptibly, without any fail, it overcomes all the efforts of a living entity of becoming Lord and Master. Let us take a case study of Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, from his beginning of his life, he thought like a mirage that a day will come when this kingdom will be mine and only mine. He tried to pass the entire ocean of Mahabharata war. But ultimately, that mirage of having a kingdom, he couldn't fulfill. And in the end, he became the cause of entire destruction of the Kuru dynasty. That same story of Dhritarashtra is being played in everyone's life who is present in this material world. Everybody is trying to overcome this mirage, trying to be the Lord and Master. But there is a one characteristic of this illusion, illusory material world, is a fear. Dhritarashtra was always fearful. Ravan was always fearful. Kamsa was always fearful. Every living entity who is trying to be Lord and Master in this material world, one characteristic feature is a fear. His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu very nicely says that when there is a storm or when there is a flood, if you take a shelter of a small branch of a thin tree, you will be always fearful. Recently there was a heavy flood in Gujarat, in Baroda. And it was so much flooded that entire water seeped into the city. And if you know, there is a beautiful river next to Vadodara called as Vishwamitri River. This river, one thing is that it has a highest concentration of crocodiles. And in this flood, the river swelled so much that along with the water, the city was flooded with crocodiles. And imagine, my brother sent me a video of crocodile walking in the night in his compound. It was horrifying. And just imagine that you are in that water and you think there is a tree trunk, and try and take shelter of that particular tree trunk, and if it turns out to be crocodile, what's your chances of survival in this and that flood? Similarly, in this material world, we take shelter, we try to take shelter in those things. If you see crocodile, when crocodile is happy with his prey, it slowly it grabs, and the next thing he does is quietly he goes under the water without making any hallagulla, without any show. So when a living entity takes shelter in such things, then surely that fear of sinking, that fear of drowning into the heart of the living entity, it creates a lot of discomfort throughout the life. Another characteristic of this illusion is that it does not last long. Srimad Bhagavatam gives example of a light of a lamp, water in a river. It says that unsurmountable rays of light are created and transformed and destroyed, but we see it as a light. And the water is nothing but the passing away of millions and trillions of small, small molecules of water. And this comparison of a lamp and a water molecule is done with a human body. And very nicely it is said, we accept particularly transit, we accept particular transitory phase of human body and take it as an actual identity of a person. I am now 57, 58. I left my school in around mid-70s. And a few weeks, few months back, somebody contacted me from my school and sent me the photographs of our school reunion. I was shocked, aghast. I couldn't identify a single person who were my life and soul for 10 years of my school. Transitory phase of a human body. When I was in my school, that particular form I took as an actual identity of that person. But in next 40 or 45 years, same person was so different. They also must be thinking of me same way. Gone hair, graying hair, put on weight, wrinkles. But that's how the illusion of material world works. There is another aspect of illusory economic development. In the example, in the Shastra, very nicely given, if of how Parikshit Maharaj was conducting economic development in his country, in his when he was a king. He was in equanimity, he was equal like a Brahma. In munificent, he was like a Shiva. And giving shelter, he was like a Vishnu. And the purport it is mentioned, that because Parikshit Maharaj took shelter of Lord Vishnu, Lakshmi Devi was happily residing in his kingdom. However, when economic development is tried without Lord Narayan, then it creates nothing but a disaster. Years after years, we see every country is trying to be economically advanced. Sometimes there is a globalization with great fanfare. Then you realize after a few years, you realize, oh my God, this was not good. Then you try to make some other way for a good economic development, and that also fails. It said, Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a nice example, that a rabbit is a reality and a horn is also reality. Horn on a deer. However, horn on a rabbit's head, is it a possibility? In a Bhagavatam, one of the purports very nicely mentioned, get trying to make a permanent happiness, arrangements for permanent happiness in this material world through the economic and other developments is like trying to have a horn on the rabbit's head. Rabbit is a reality. A living entity is a reality. Permanently happiness is a reality. But to find that happiness in this material world is to like finding a horn on a rabbit's ear. The great economists, as recently I had attended one conference, and one Indian economist very nicely said, he said, those economies based on dharma, they only will sustain the test of time. And very scientifically, persistently, he was putting the points that how an economy based on dharma will survive. He was telling one particular country, he said, 7% of that economy's burden is because of unwanted teenage pregnancies. 7% of a country's budget was going behind that. Huge amount. And similarly, all the other principles of Krishna consciousness, when they are, Hare Krishna, when they are not followed, it creates a huge burden on that government, and then all the plans without Krishna consciousness of succeeding in economics are failed. It is said that a person, however he tries to become a lord and master, but in the end his program will fail. Recently we have heard in the newspaper that one person who became a very big name in his business trying to sell one of the four breaking principles, and he became a big man. He succeeded. He had a chains of his product being sold all over the, not only India, but all over the world. And the success was so much that he borrowed more money. And then he tried to do something more. He borrowed more and more money. He tried to do something more. And little things fall here and there. And then his whole business was about to get crashed. And he couldn't take this particular reality. And he just committed suicide by jumping in the water. So that is the nature of this illusory world, that no matter you try, ultimately it leads to frustration. It requires a lot of determination. A determination only can help. First, one has to be aware that this material world is an illusory world. And then the determination comes that I don't want to be in this world. I would like to share a story of a determination. I call it as a story of a Mauli. Last year, during this rainy season, my daughter was coming from the road, from our complex, and she found many crows in the sky, and it was unusual, and she went there to see what's happening. So there was a one small bird being attacked by these particular crows very fiercely, and she just, with the help of a few people, she took that bird and brought it to our home, and completely that bird was in the mess. And we gave the bath, we gave the food, and we put it in our balcony with grills. And because it was a Pandharpur Wari time, so we named that bird as a Mauli. And then we saw that Mauli whole day, that bird will do nothing but try to free herself from our so-called prison house. We had tied the net with the plastic threads. And whole day that bird will go and try and... Well, we know that bird cannot even break a fraction of that particular nylon thread. But the determination of that bird was so much that we all thought, although we were attached, we will get up in the morning, Mauli has done this, Mauli has done that. I realized how Bharat Maharaj must have got attached to deer. In 7 days' time, Mauli has eaten or not, Mauli has drunk water or not, crows are not disturbing the Mauli. But the determination of that bird made me think sad. No, I can't keep. At the same time, if I free that bird, the bird, the crows and the eagles were ready to devour that bird. So ultimately, with the help of some devotees, we placed that bird in a bird sanctuary where experts were taking care of that bird. But then, yes, to pass from this material world, we have to show our determination to the Supreme Lord Sri Hari, like that small bird, that yes, once in the same temple, we were celebrating 50th birth anniversary of His Grace Jananivas Prabhu and His brother, His Grace Panchangri Prabhu, in the building behind. And I still remember, while we were Radhanath, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was there, all Vaishnavas were there, and Jananivas Prabhu made one statement that I am ready to pay any price. Whatever amount of the price I have to pay, I am ready to meet that curly-haired blue boy. That is a determination we required to be away from this illusory material world. Once His Grace Shinaji Prabhu was driving His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. It was very getting late for the plane, and he was driving very fast, and at one particular signal, suddenly one car came from the opposite side. And within fraction of second, as we know, Shinaji Prabhu was a very expert driver. He just turned to the right, and within seconds, that car passed away. It would have been a sure crash and sure death. And Shinaji Prabhu asked for forgiveness from His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj was quietly, he was continuously chanting, and he said, "No problem. I was chanting. I was prepared." That is the sign of a person who is ready, who understands what is this material world. Once His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj had some chest problem, heart problem, and he was taken into the doctors and ICU, and it appeared to be a great anxiety for the disciples and the Vaishnavas all over the world. And then after some time he came back, and then the first thing he said, that actually I was more than eager in anticipation for new opportunities to serve Srila Prabhupada. Generally, death means a fear. The most fearful thing in the life is a death. But how great souls present their preparedness to death is we through the, see through this life, their lives. Her Grace Janava Mataji's daughter, Shyam Sundari. We never knew she is suffering from such uncorrectable illness. And at one particular time, when it was apparent that she is going to leave her body, everybody in the family was in great anxiety. But Shyam Sundari Mataji just said, they were going to hospital. It was very, very dangerous affair. And she said, I am not afraid. Give me my bid bag. And this small girl, with her bid bag which was given to her by her spiritual master, kept her near to her heart. And in that situation, she left her body. So this is called as a great determination and a great escape. Let us take a definition what Srila Prabhupada mentions about illusion. Srila Prabhupada defines illusion as any comfort of life or any material happiness which does not warrant eternal life is but illusion for eternal living being. Such a beautiful, such a complete definition of what is an illusion. Whatever is there in our life, if that does not allow us to have to go towards our eternal life, then it is but an illusion. We see in life of great acharyas, Mahajan, Bhishma Pitama, Mahatma Vidur, they were living in a great palace. Bhishma Pitama was the actual heir of the whole kingdom. He had all the opulence. He had all the strength. He had all the power. He had all the respect. He had all the strength and expertise as a statesman. Still, everything what was there in his possession, in his, under his control, everything he secretly and quietly utilized to serve, ultimately come to the point where at the time of death, Supreme Lord Sri Hari comes in front of him. Mahatma Vidur. He was an epitome of any person who can face how much duality is in the life. For a devotees and for we, when we live in this material world, end of the day, the biggest thing which makes us tired is the duality of this material world. End of the day, we get exhausted. Whole day goes in struggling to get balance between this duality of the material world. And Mahatma Vidur, how much dualities he was going through. He was a son of a king. Still, he was not a king. He was a Vaishnava, pure Vaishnava. Still, he was supposed to serve the Kauravas. He wanted to protect Pandavas openly, but he couldn't protect them. Every time, he had to act against what his heart was saying. But still, everything he utilized in his life was to serve the Supreme Lord. And hence, when the Supreme Lord was winding up his Leela, in the end, he remembers Vidura. That is the gift which Mahatma Vidur got. There is one Vaishnava, I would like to share one small story of a Vaishnava called, he was a brahmachari from Nigadi temple. His name was Rohini Tanaya Prabhu. One day he came to our OPD, left thigh swelling, we saw. We did the x-ray. To our utter shock, it was an advanced stage of cancer. He was an athlete, physical training teacher before he became a brahmachari. Young body, athletic body, very handsome. And then he told me, Prabhuji, I was ready to do all the necessary thing in our capability with the help of modern science to make an attempt to curtail this disease of cancer. But I was shocked. He said, Prabhuji, I would not like to go through all these things. My teacher was angry. Still he said, no, I would like to be. So he placed himself in one Ayurvedic hospital near Balsar. And it is because it is on the way to my native place. Every time I would go, I would meet him, speak to him, and I got connected to him, got attached to him. And as the days passed, his cancer increased, it spread throughout the body, and pain was so much that one particular time he told Rohini Kumar Prabhu, I am being crushed by the mountain of pain. And I was present, I could feel how much pain he was going through. But still, in this stage also, gradually he became comatose. But he had expressed his desire that I have given my life to the temple of Nigri, Sri Sri Radha Govinda Devji. And it's my desire that I want to leave my body at the lotus feet of Sri Radha Govinda Devji. As the days passed by, pain was excruciating constantly. We were giving him the painkiller medicines, morphine tablets. It became once in a day, it became twice in a day, it became thrice in a day, injections, and still pain was tremendous. And that situation, sending him, was difficult. Then ultimately he became comatose, and then Rohini Kumar Prabhu, His Grace Shamanand Prabhu and devotees, they decided that we should fulfill his last desire and send him to Radha Govinda Dev temple. And we tried to shift him from the bed to the trolley, and there only he had a cardiac, sudden he became breathless and his heart became very fast. And we were afraid what to do. Still we thought that we will take a chance. We arranged an ambulance. We kept in an ambulance. One of our brahmachari godbrothers, Gaurnithai Deities, were there. So he said, I will send Gaurnithai Deities with him in the ambulance. We arranged a path, an unusual path, where there is no signal, no traffic. Unfortunately, driver went through the same path where traffic and signals were there. Constantly the doctor was there with them. We were on the phone. How much is his pulse? How much is BP? And they were going. And we were in great anxiety whether he will be able to reach there or not. Few devotees told us, doctors, we would not have allowed this devotee to go in this state. And in the end, we got a phone call that, Prabhuji, even though our driver took a mistake, we went by an area which was supposed to be heavy with the traffic. We didn't encounter any traffic. We didn't encounter even a single signal. Gaurnithai Ji were taking care of him all along. And then we got a phone call. Prabhuji, the entire Nigri temple is there, gathered to welcome him. And he has reached Nigri temple. And we were happy. Wow, ultimately we could fulfill his desire. And then we were busy with our dosh there. And then another shocker came. Within some time, we got a phone call. Prabhuji, we were preparing for his room with air condition and everything. We offered flower to Srila Prabhupada on his behalf. We offered the flower to Sri Govinda Devji, Radha Govinda Devji on his behalf. This was an old temple. And we kept him over there and we were doing Sankirtan. And while Sankirtan was going on, there and there in temple itself, he left his body. Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purport in Bhishma Pitama's chapter. He says, this material body is a gift of material energy. Technically, it is called illusion. Means Srila Prabhupada said that for a pure devotees, it is a technical fact that it's an illusion. But for a Vaishnava, this same body is nothing but an instrument to go towards the path at the lotus feet of Sri
Hari. Recently, there is a lot of news about Adi Varadaraj. And we were at Adi Varadaraj, and I was preparing for the pastimes connected to Lord Varadaraj. And the great Yamunacharya gives us the solution how one can be freed from this illusion of material world. He has given three instructions. Just before he passed away, he gave three instructions to his grihastha disciples. First, offer flowers at the deities of the Lord. Second, follow instructions of spiritual master strictly. Third, destroy false ego by serving Vaishnavas. When we serve Vaishnavas, our false ego gets destroyed. When our false ego gets destroyed, we are in the position to understand the instruction and how to serve spiritual master. And when we serve our spiritual master by pleasing him, we can serve Supreme Lord Shri Hari. We see in the life of great Kanchipurna, he was such a great Vaishnava that he could speak to the Lord himself. And one day one small villager who was attached to Kanchipurna asked Kanchipurna to speak to the Lord whether he can go back home, back to Godhead. Kanchipurna ji asked Lord Varadaraj. Lord Varadaraj said, yes, this person will come to me because he is attached to you. So one day Kanchipurna thought, I will ask, Lord, will I be able to come to you? Lord said, no. Going back home, back to Godhead is a serious business. There is a saying, na, dhande mein dosti nahi. Lord says, you are my friend. No wonder. But you are not serving, you are serving me. But you are not serving any Vaishnavas. Kanchipurna gets the message. And he changes himself incognito. He goes to a great another Vaishnava, Goshtipurna. Serves him as a simple coward man. Here Lord Varadaraj is in separation. Brings rain where he is standing. His exterior gets lost. And Goshtipurna says, here the great Kanchipurna working as a coward man in my fields. And then Lord Varadaraj gets very happy. Once Kanchipurna, in the night when he was, how Lord wants to serve his devotees. Here Yamunacharya says, destroy your false ego by serving Vaishnavas. Lord Varadaraj, one day night, Kanchipurna goes to go home, and at one day, every day night, the watchman will carry the lantern to bring Kanchipurna to his home. And one night, Kanchipurna was shouting for him, and there was no watchman. And suddenly from somewhere the watchman came and carried the lamp for Kanchipurna. Next day, watchman came begging. He said, Swamiji, Kanchipurna ji, I'm really sorry. Yesterday I couldn't come to take you home with a lamp because I went to sleep. And that time Kanchipurna realized that Lord Varadaraj himself became the watchman to carry the lantern for his dear devotee. So this way, serving Vaishnavas is the beginning. It is the continuity and it is the end. In the end also, it is not end. Serving Vaishnavas, it continues throughout the existence of a living entity. While serving, Lord doesn't like pride in the heart of his devotees. When we were in Pandharpur recently for an eye camp, for our medical camp, after Lord Vitthal's darshan, before Rukmini Devi's darshan, there is a small, beautiful mandap is there. And we saw ancient, like Ravi Verma era paintings. And at one, the beautiful painting of a whole pastime of Lord Vitthal and Rukmini Devi's kidnapping. And the last painting, there is a nice painting where Lord is sitting for prasad. And all the queens of the Lord, they are serving prasad. And Lord's hand is like this. No. And in the corner, somebody with a very huge body and healthy body and eating laddus. The story is such that all the queens of Krishna, they used to think, we want to serve Lord such opulently, so much prasad, we want to serve Lord. But Lord doesn't eat anything. He's a very frugal eater. Maybe 1.5 chapati. And always they used to feel, we want to serve Lord, but Lord doesn't eat. How much capacity we have, we want to serve Lord, but it is not being utilized. And Lord decides one day, fine, it's time to give them what they want. So Lord invites Bhima to his palace for a prasad. Bhima comes and they start joyfully eating, and then all the queens start preparing prasad, one after another item coming. It was afternoon time and Bhima is eating, and we know as a vrukodhar, he can eat huge amount. And he is eating, and Lord ignited fire in his belly to such an extent that Bhim started eating everything what they were cooking, to the such an extent that it became middle of the night. And still they were making chapatis, and Bhima was hungry. He said, get me, no problem. Get me the kacha chapati. So the kacha chapati he was eating. Then still the hunger was so much. Okay, get me the atta. Atta lao, kuch bhi hao, I will eat it. Ultimately, all the queens, they realized. They went to the Lord with a folded hand and said, Lord, please forgive us. We will never ever feel proud that we can serve you so nicely. Today is Ekadashi. One day, early morning, Bhim got up. Mother Kunti said, please, today is Ekadashi. Please go and take bath. Today we are not, no food. Bhim said, but Ma, I am so hungry. I want food. Please give me something. He said, no, nothing doing today. You cannot eat. There was a big argument. Ultimately, Kunti Ma said, fine, I'll make something. But at least go and take bath. It was the middle of a summer. He went to the river. River was very thin, flow of water was there. So Bhim said, how can I take bath? Bhim is a huge. So he thought, let me lie down. So by lying down, the water will get accumulated and then I can take bath. So while lying down, Bhim went to sleep because cold water was touching his body. But here the water started accumulating, and there was a beautiful Lord Shiva temple. And the water was filling the whole Shiva temple right up to the Shivling. Mother Parvati said, my Lord, your wonderful devotee, he is going to flood our temple. Let us do something. Shivji said, he is a very, very wonderful Vaishnava. But we'll have to incite something very, very powerful to make him get up from his sleep. So he said, you become cow, Parvati. I will become a lion. And I will run after you. You go on shouting, help, help. So as a Kshatriya, he will not lie down. He will get up. And his mother Parvati became a cow and ran, help, help. And behind that Shivji ran as a lion. And Bhima saw, oh my God, I'll have to get up. He was a Kshatriya. Got up, ran and held the lion by his beard. And about to smash, that time the most beautiful form of Lord Shiva and Parvati stood behind him, in front of him. And Lord Shivji said, Bhima, I am so happy with you. Please ask any boon. Remember, this is a Ekadashi. So, Bhima says, my Lord, I have got everything. I have got a strength of killing 10,000 elephants at a time. I have got brothers. I have got everything. Still, Lord Shiva said, ask something. He said, if you want to give me that boon that I can eat anything, anytime, anywhere, in whatever form. Kacha, pakka, whatever. So, given. Still Lord Shiva said, ask something more. My heart is so much happy with you that ask something more. So Bhima said, what should I ask? He said, fine. If you want to give me that boon, that whatever reaction I get by eating all these things goes to Shakuni. So probably the word crash dieting came from him, Shakuni. Then Lord Shiva is very happy and he said, yes, Bhima, from today onwards, this Ekadashi will be called as a Bhima Ekadashi. So this is the Ekadashi. This is the day when in the Padma Purana it is mentioned that Lord created a Papa Purush, a personification of all the sins. And Lord created Yamraj to control Papa Purush. And once when Lord went to Yamraj's house, from a southern direction, huge crying was coming, sound was coming. And Lord went there and saw that all the living entities were suffering. And looking at their pain, Lord couldn't tolerate. And from his very body, he created Mother Ekadashi. But now there was a problem. All living entities were following Mother Ekadashi. And Papa Purush was becoming weak and weak and weak. So he begged to the Lord, "Oh Lord, if I die, then who will perform the pastimes on this earthly planet?" So Lord said, "Fine. On the Ekadashi day, you can stay in a grains. So all the sins gets accumulated into the grains on the day of Ekadashi. That is the reason we don't eat grains on the day of Ekadashi." There was one village near Vrindavan called as Ushinara village. In this Ushinara village, now we come to the internal reason of Ekadashi. In the Ushinara village, there was for 10 years there was no rain. And those cowherd men from Ushinara village, they traveled all the way to Vrindavan. And Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj, accommodated everybody of them. Here we see, Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam, that Nanda Maharaj was a inclusive personality. Very important. A Vaishnava should be inclusive, ready to accommodate everyone, not a constrictive, exclusive personality. And Nanda Maharaj accommodated everyone, then the gopis of this Ushinara village, kingdom, they asked Radharani, "Radharani, you have controlled Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Please tell us, how can we attain favor?" The word which is used is a prasadartha, twice shloka that comes. How can we obtain the mercy or the favor of the Krishnasya prasadartha? And then Radharani says that I performed all the Ekadashi. And when you perform all the Ekadashi, then Lord gets, you become eligible to get the favor of the Supreme Lord Shri Hari. So this is on this particular very day. We spend time in more on chanting, remembering, internalizing and understanding that how we can come out of this material world. Today while coming down, I saw extremely beautiful decoration. Today happened to be the Radha Govind Jhulan Yatra. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai Ho. So I was discussing with His Grace Vishwara Prabhu and he was telling me that just before Shravan, all the gopis are married to Gopas. And Radharani is also married to Krishna. And she is staying at Nandagaon. And as it is a custom in our Vedic custom, even today also in our villages, when girl gets married and goes to her in-law's house, she feels so much of separation that after a 7 days, 15 days or a month, the girl's brother goes to the in-law's house and brings the girl back to her parents' house for a few days so that her heart gets pacified. And here Radharani is waiting that Sri Rama has not come. All the girls, brothers have come and gone. Sri Rama comes little late. He comes in a rath, brings Radharani in a rath. This is the only Rath Yatra where Radharani sits. Even in Vrindavan today also, they decorate the rath for Radharani. And then Radharani comes to Vrishabhanu Baba's house. And then Radharani is placed on a jhula. And then she is given a beautiful jhula by her family members. So this is a time when in Vrindavan, all the temples, they celebrate Jhulan Yatra. On the day of Hariyali Tij, all temples of Vrindavan are fully decorated with green color. And the Lord is brought out, Utsav Murthy. And in exquisite decoration, Lord is given Jhulan Yatra. There are so many pastimes of Jhulan Yatra. One pastime is in Vrindavan. There is a place called as Lalita Kund. In Lalita Kund, if you go, there is a big jhula over there. And the pastime over here is that Lalita ji has prepared all the pastimes ready for Sri Sri Radha Govind ji to have a jhulan. But somehow, Krishna is ready, all the gopis are ready, but Radharani has not come so far. And they are waiting and waiting and waiting. And ultimately Narad Muni says, Lalita Devi, you please sit with Krishna. And Lalita Devi says, no question. After a lot of cajoling, she sits on the jhula. And there is a further pastime. But the learning from here is that in spiritual world, everything is done not for the self. Lalita Devi represents by this pastime that whatever we do in our spiritual life is not for us, but for our spiritual master, for Vaishnava and for Parampara. There is a small village next to this village called as Anjanav village. Once Lord Krishna was waiting for Radharani and Radharani became late. And in hurry, she forgot to put Anjan in her eyes. And as soon as she comes in front of Krishna, Krishna starts laughing. And he realizes, what? Today you have not dressed properly. Today you have forgotten to put Anjan. And Lord himself puts Anjan with his own hands in his eyes. And in this pastime, we learn that we are in this illusory material world. Today's our topic is the illusion. It is impossible for us to come out of this illusory world. We have all the deficiency. We have all the inadequacies. But even with all the inadequacies, all the deficiencies, when we try to serve our spiritual master and mission of Srila Prabhupada, the way Lord completed that deficiency in Radharani's dressing by putting ointment with his own fingers, our spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada will take care of all our deficiency, all our inadequacies. Only thing what is required is sincerely make an attempt to serve mission of Srila Prabhupada through his pure servants. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments, any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a wonderful class. You talked about economic development and also the three characteristics of illusion. When in so-called academic or professional circles, we have this discussion about GDP, growth, and it's believed that only growth, economic growth, can only help and drive the economy. If you bring up topics like time and all these, they think that you're talking about philosophy. People, yeah. Even small things, even if one discusses time, one can understand that one cannot go against time, and time ultimately deteriorates everything. But then the point they bring is that why are you bringing philosophy into this discussion? So how does one counter that?
Every science has a philosophy. You know, every science. There are certain principles. Philosophy means principles. Whether it's economics, whether it's a medicine, whether it's a law, every field has its own laws and protocols. So this philosophy is nothing but the laws. So we may sometimes they mistakenly take it as a philosophy, but these are the protocols. We have a protocol of a checklist before surgery. If I do not follow the protocol of checklist, I can make a serious mistake. Similarly, even in the economics, the protocol of dharma, protocol of four regulative principles is there. If you don't follow that, it's not a question of it's not a question of philosophy. But there are certain protocols, like four regulative principles. If you follow that, economy's burden becomes completely less. And definitely that economy which follows these protocols of regulative principles, definitely that economy will flourish. So it is the way those people want to take it. It's the mindset which does not want to believe Krishna, and they don't want to follow dharma. They will speak that why you bring in dharma, whether they want it or whether they don't want it, whether they name it or whether they name it in something else. But dharma, the protocol, remains eternally, whether it's now, thousands years back, or thousands years next. Even right now, dharma is standing on one leg. Even if you try to follow on that one leg, economic development will be there. It will be definite. But you try not to follow dharma even on that one leg of truthfulness, then Krishna will put those type of difficulties which will destroy all your efforts to flourish in making money. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Today's breakfast prasad is sponsored by following devotees, Mr. Sandesh Shetty, on occasion of his daughter Seher's birthday. His Grace Gopal Lila Prabhu, in loving memory of his father Sri Chandrakant Mathiyan, requesting all the devotees pray for the spiritual well-being of the departed soul and family. Let us express our best wishes, gratitude,